Welcome to the Five Amuse podcast. This is your host, Frenchie, knitwear designer and design coach behind Araha Knits, where I empower fiber artists to transform their yarn so they can manifest more joy, healing, connection, and creativity into their lives one stitch at a time. My work as a knitwear designer focuses on exploring the intersection of the four aspects of making: self-care, self-discovery, self-expression, and selflessness, with my journey of making sense of my multicultural identity. And on this podcast, I'll be documenting this journey of self-actualization, of manifesting the Fiber Muse into my own making experience. So I invite you today to be inspired to work the magic of making to transform your life as I transform mine. Kia ora, Fiber Muses, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Fiber Muse podcast. This is Francoise, your host, aka Frenchie, and I am so glad to have you here on the show today. So in today's episode, I'm going to be sharing my process of how I work my cultural influences into my designing. So you're actually going to get a little bit of the behind the scenes look of my work as a knitwear designer. But before we get into that, I've got a few announcements to make. And the first is I want to say thank you to everybody for the warm reception to the pilot episode of the Fiber Muse podcast. It just makes me so happy that a lot of you tuned into that and that it's actually really resonating with you. That was definitely my hope and goal for the shows, you know, to create something meaningful and impactful and something that really resonated strongly with you. So definitely, I'm just getting so happy by the amount of support and outpouring that I'm getting from it. So thank you so much. I'd also like to give a shout out to our newest Patreon who joined the other day, Janet. Thank you so much for becoming our newest Patreon supporter. It is very much appreciated. Your contribution will definitely go a long way in helping funding the show. And so just really quickly, I would like to read one such letter of support from one of the followers. This was sent through me to the DMs, but I was really touched by what she had to say. It's one of my students from the Swatch Studio Circle, Fiber Journeys, and she says, "Love, love, love the direction your work is taken. Listen to your mini podcast more, please. And while I am no woman of color, I can certainly relate to being home in multiple places and yet not feeling fully part of either. I suppose in our case, I think this makes us greater than the sum of our parts, but I'm still trying to navigate accepting and appreciating that. So cheers to your progress and allowing us a little glimpse at it." Thank you so much. So definitely this podcast is also going to be me navigating, accepting, and appreciating all the different parts that make me whole. And I definitely agree that this makes us greater than the sum of our parts, but sometimes it just takes a while for us to actually get those parts together and add them all up. So thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it. As another thing, definitely please do not forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes or on Apple Podcasts. That would definitely really help push the podcast out into the algorithm and the rankings and all that stuff. And also, just let me know what you think of the show. That'll definitely really help a lot. And additionally, another way that you can support the show is through Patreon. For as low as $2 a month, you can get access to the live recordings of the show that I do in our exclusive Facebook group, as well as get ad-free versions of the show and early access, plus some other really cool little goodies and rewards for you as well. And one last announcement is that I've got a pattern release coming out. So the day that this podcast drops, I like to record my podcast episodes a couple days in advance. So when this podcast episode comes out, there will also be a pattern release coming out with it at the same time. And this is the last pattern from the Fiber Muse Quarterly Mystic issue, which the full collection came out in May of this year. And the last pattern that I'm going to be releasing from that as a single standalone is Exhale, which I created in collaboration with Round Table Yarns. So, just a quick overview about Exhale. This is a triangular shawl knit from side to side. So not like a traditional triangular shawl, but think of an asymmetrical triangular shawl, except not as much of a curve in there, with a circular lace stitch pattern that's worked all throughout until you get to the end, and then there's a section of squishy garter stitch in there. The few times that I've shown this on social media, there's been a really lot of excitement for this pattern, so it's finally getting released. And so just a little bit of background behind the pattern is we all know the satisfaction of a deep cleansing breath. They don't call it a sigh of relief for nothing. When we feel stressed, we tend to take shallow breaths. We sometimes even hold our breath without realizing it. But when we are mindful of our breathing, when we focus on slowly inhaling and exhaling, we become aware of our bodies and let go of the tension we've been holding on to. Exhale is a long triangular shawl with an all-over pattern with lace ringlets to remind you to be conscious of your breathing. The deep border is knit in garter stitch to allow for some soulful contemplation. Finally, meditate on a positive thought as you work each pico of the bind-off. So definitely this shawl is meant to be a representation and a reminder of the beauty and magic of breathing. Sometimes whenever you're just feeling so stressed out, we forget to do the really simple things to help ground us and to help us, you know, get back to earth, basically. And breathing can go a really long way, just taking a moment to breathe in and then to breathe out. And so, like I mentioned, this is from the Mystic Quarterly issue, which is all about knitting as a form of self-care. So if you're in need of a self-care project, then I highly recommend picking up Exhale, as this is going to be the last from the quarterly issues until the next collection is going to be released in November. And you can get the pattern Exhale for 10% off over the next week with the coupon code EXHALE10. Just keep it really simple. All caps, EXHALE10. Or you can take a look at the show notes to get that code. Alrighty, so now let's go into the show. So again, today's topic is just sharing a bit of behind the scenes of how I work my cultural influences into my design. And so there's going to be two steps for this. First, I'm going to share exactly where I get my sources of inspiration and then how I kind of recreate that into my knitting, how I retell that in the form of stitches. So let's start with the sources of inspiration. So the majority of my patterns, if you take a look, at least starting from before I started doing the Fiber Muse quarterly collections, I definitely drew a lot upon my Maori cultural heritage for my inspiration. You'll see a few here and there that draw upon my French cultural heritage, like for example, Fields of Lavender, that was definitely very much inspired by the lavender fields in Provence and that area. But for the majority of the time, it's very much influenced by my Maori side. And then I have a few here and there that kind of come from personal experiences of dealing with depression and anxiety, such as Then Comes Spring. That's one of my favorite patterns. So when I am drawing inspiration from my Maori culture heritage, there are several different places that I will dive into. One is the weaving, traditionally known as taniko. Taniko refers to both the method and also the designs of the weaving. And so that's very much color work designs. And taniko usually comes in the form of geometric and repetitive shapes. So you'll see a lot of my colorwork patterns having those strong geometric shapes in there as well. Sometimes I'll also draw inspiration from the carving. Carving was definitely something that was very prominent in Maori culture. If you go to one of their meeting houses or just take a look at their work, their woodwork, there's just very intricate carvings there. So sometimes I'll take inspiration from that as well. And then the last source of inspiration, well, I guess there are two sources of inspiration, is from the stories, the myths, the legends, the things that I've read growing up, just learning about the culture and things of significance to that culture. And then lastly, the people in my life. So those are the four places that I'll get the sources of inspiration from. And so where exactly do I go to find those sources of inspiration? Well, when I was first starting out, the internet was definitely played a huge part in helping me learn more and get the information that I needed. So I'll just do simple Google searches, see what would pop up, taking a look at the website. Sometimes I'd even take a look at Pinterest as well, just write it in, for example, Maori taniko motifs or Maori motifs or things like that, and starting there. But that was very much very surface level. And recently, thanks to the resources provided by members of the community, such as Carolyn, who is watching the live recording of the podcast right now, they will send me their recommendations for books to look into. And I finally found a website that actually could ship books to Japan, which made me super excited. And so this week I received a full shipment of just a whole bunch of books. So there are three of them I'd like to share with you. So one is called Maori Myth and Legend by A.W. Reed. And growing up, I was so totally into Greek and Roman mythology. Like I used to be really familiar and kind of know all the myths inside and out. So it's kind of really exciting to dive into the Maori myths and legends and, you know, learn about the folklore there. It just kind of feels like I'm a little kid again, diving back into those things that I was really into. Also, I was really into Egyptian as well, but I didn't know as much. It was like Greek. Greek was definitely like my area that I would really like to geek out when I was younger. So really excited just to read these small, you know, these quick stories, but just to know about them. I have one story that I was aware of before I started getting into getting this book, for example, was the story of how Maui, if you know the Disney's movie Moana, you know, there's the demigod Maui, and in one of the songs, he kind of hints at all the different feats that he did. Kind of remind me like the great feats of Hercules, though Maui also had his great feats that he accomplished too. One of my favorite ones, one of the feats that I remember reading sometime was how he was able to slow down the sun to give us longer days. So when the earth was first created, the sun was traveling way too fast across the sky. That was not enough time for people to hunt or to cook their food or basically to live. So basically what Maui did, I'm going to just like a really quick version of it. Like he made some shade for himself so he wouldn't be burnt by the sun. He also created some nets so he could capture the sun. Basically, what he did was he asked the sun if it could slow down so that way people have more time to, you know, cook their food, go hunting, and all that stuff. The sun said no, so Maui beat him up. And so the reason why the sun is traveling across the sky at the rate that it is because it is gravely injured, and so he is just slowly walking along. So that is how Maui gave us 12 hours of sun in the day, which, I don't know, when I read that, I was just like, that was just so funny and yet so tragic at the same time. Still not sure how I feel about it, but that's a story that I'm sharing with you today. Anyway, yeah, so that's the first book, Maori Myth and Legend. Let's see, this one came in my mailbox about the other day, called Maori Weaving. Oh, I cannot pronounce the name. I'll put all the names of the books in the show notes, but this is from the mother of a teacher who teaches Taniko weaving online. I recently signed up to take this course on how to do traditional Taniko weaving. I'll probably be doing another podcast episode on that, exactly what that looks like and what that is. But along with the course came a book that kind of goes into the history, the significance, and the different types of weaving methods there are. And just reading through it, I just learned so much about the headspace that these weavers get into, the significance of the weaving, how each row, or at least the first few rows, have a special name and significance and things like that. And also just, you know, giving a bit of historical context and background to learning about weaving and this particular craft. And so there are definitely a lot of patterns in here that you can draw inspiration from. And there's also like a section with color photos, which definitely can be a source of inspiration to draw from. But it's also just really inspiring to see how artists use their medium to make a statement or to create something beautiful and meaningful. And then the last book that came into the mailbox, is Te Teao. I need to learn how to speak the language. That's definitely on my list. But in English, it's Maori and the Natural World, which goes over the relationship the Maori had with nature, basically the relationship to the sky, to the way that they viewed the sea, the water, the forest, the air, the land, and all of that, and the stories that came out from that, and the gods associated with that, the names that they had for all the things, and the significance of all these different aspects of nature. And definitely when I've been reading that, I've been highlighting all the passages that really stood out to me. And I'm already getting lots of inspiration for future designs that can be around a certain theme around nature and the way that the Maori interacted with that. So it's definitely like lots of sources of inspiration. It's very nice to have books instead of relying on the internet, because sometimes the internet doesn't show everything. And with the books, you get kind of like the full, or at least a fuller understanding and dive into, you know, into these topics and subjects. So that's where I get my sources of inspiration when it comes to my cultural influences, definitely doing a little bit of research and then what areas of that culture I mostly get inspired by. Again, the weaving, carving, the stories and the myths that are told, and additionally the people. And I'm just going to talk a bit about how I actually take those sources of inspiration and recreate it or retell it into knitting. My philosophy and approach to knitwear design is that knitwear design is us expressing our stories through knitting form, kind of like a painting. A painting is telling a story, it's setting a scene or kind of recontextualizing our experiences and us interpreting that and putting that onto a different medium. So that's pretty much the way that I see knitwear design as well, and that's something that I try to teach my students in my signature e-course. But there are several ways that I am able to recreate that source of inspiration into knitting. The most common and easiest way, I'm putting easiest in air quotes, is through colorwork knitting. Like I mentioned, when it comes to weaving, there are a lot of colorwork designs with strong geometric motifs. So I will just take those designs and just translate them into knitting stitches. An example of this is the Taimana cowl. So the Taimana cowl is a tubular cowl that is knit in the round and then connected at the two ends. And during in the process of that piece, there'll be sections of striped rows and then the colorwork motif there. And the motif that I used for that particular one was the diamond motif. And there's a whole story and history and significance behind that. But definitely Fair Isle is usually like my go-to. So whenever you see a colorwork piece, there's a high chance that it is based off a traditional motif. Another way that I would do it is through lace. And so if I read something, for example, the kotiri shawl, which kotiri is Maori for meteor or comet. So I was definitely really thinking about the stars and the night sky and, you know, the twinkling stars in the universe. And so when I was looking for a lace pattern, I found a lace pattern that reminded me of that image, basically. So whenever, if it's not a colorwork pattern that I can like reproduce into a colorwork motif, then something, I'll try to find something that kind of has the same feel or vibe as the image that I had. It's all about interpretation. Kind of see knitting as abstract art when it's not Fair Isle or colorwork knitting. So I'll use lace. For the cables, if I'm inspired by the carvings or the woodwork, then I go to cables. That's kind of like the way that I like to interpret that. One example of that is the kuru cardigan. The kuru cardigan also kind of looks like these fern spirals, so that was also played a huge part in the name as well. So cables is one way. Another way is if I want to play with color work but I don't want to use Fair Isle or stranded knitting, then I will use mosaic, as in the patiki shawl. Mosaic is definitely a lot of fun to do. It's not my favorite method of knitting because I do like the repetitiveness and the feeling behind doing stranded colorwork. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I don't think I'd like slipping stitches all that much, but mosaic is another way. Sometimes I'll just do it in the name only. Just think of like, you know, just keeping the name simple. Maybe it's inspired by the colors or the design. Sometimes it's just not an exact thing, so I'll just give it a name using the Maori language. Sometimes, an example of that, so that would be the Atiru shawl. Or this one was inspired by the colors, and this one has a funny story behind it. So I have a sort of older patterns called the Ira Ira shawl. And Ira Ira means variegated in Maori. However, in Japanese, it means to be ticked off or to be really annoyed or angry. And so that's just a really funny thing with Maori and Japanese. Sometimes there are some words that means one thing in Maori, and then it means a completely other thing in Japanese. For example, in tanoko weaving, there are two fibers that you use, and one of them is called a aho. In Japanese, that means idiot or stupid. So yeah, so it's just sometimes it's just a funny thing with the overlap between the two languages. And then sometimes in just the story itself, I dedicated one of my shawls that was released in the Six Bits storybooks called the Aroha shawl, that was actually named after my grandmother. So I dedicated that shawl to her, so, and just sharing the story behind the shawl and the inspiration from it to her. the Aroha shawl that has a really interesting construction. So instead of it, it's a top-down triangular shawl, but instead of it being knit all the way down in one piece, there are actually sections where I'll knit part of the shawl and then pick up stitches from underneath to create a 3D textured layered look. So there'll be parts of the shawl coming from underneath the other parts of that. And I was inspired by the beach, you know, the shifting sands on the ocean floor, and then the corals, the red corals that are also laying on the ocean floor. I was really inspired by that, and I wanted to name that after my grandmother. So those are the different ways that I recreate those sources of inspiration: color work, lace, cables, mosaic, using the name, or also inspired by the colors that I use, and then just dedicating, giving that a story and sharing the story behind that. And it can be really just as simple as that. It's just a matter of interpreting and retelling, recontextualizing the stitches and the stories from one medium to another using the tools that are available. So if you're also looking to create your own patterns, maybe not just to not to sell them, maybe in this particular case, but just for yourself to connect deeper to your culture heritage, there's no right or wrong way to do it, I think. If you want to translate that over, there are some cultures that are lucky enough that have a strong history of knitting, like the Irish, or like some of the islands near Scotland and stuff like that. The Maori don't have a strong history of knitting. It's mostly weaving and wood carving and tattooing. So for me, as a knitter, I feel like knitting matches who I am. I am a mix of multiple different cultures, but I'm going to put this into air quotes, purely from one. So my knitting kind of reflects that. So by incorporating motifs from a different culture that wasn't really used in that culture, and that's not really common to the knitting traditions and stuff like that, it's also kind of like a representation of me. Knitting is not Maori, but the motifs that I am introducing into the knitting isn't from knitting tradition or from, you know, European countries. It's from a Polynesian country. So I feel like that's also kind of like a little meta representation of myself. But if you want to get into that, that's definitely one way that you can start really diving into learning more about your culture heritage and how you can use knitting to express that. So that is how I work my culture influences into my designing. If you take a look at my most recent patterns, that won't be the case so much. I was drawn by influences from different areas, but going forward, especially with the Fiber Muse Quarterly collection coming out in November, I'm definitely going to be incorporating the why we make, you know, the Fiber Muse archetypes with my cultural identity and that journey into that. So it's going to be a mixture of both. So if you go back, maybe going into 2016, early 2017, then you'll definitely see my designs really strongly inspired by my culture heritages, whatever the word is. But anyway, before we close out the show, I just want to give you all a reminder, or at least to encourage you that to share your stories. I've received a few emails from people asking like, hey, I would love to send my story in. Or feeling that the show really resonated with them. So definitely if you want to share your story of how you use making to make sense of your identity or to explore your heritage or whatever it is, then definitely send them in. I would love to read them on the show. You can send them to fdanwa@arahenits.com. Or you can find that in the show notes if that's a little bit too hard for you to spell for you. And again, if you are enjoying the show so far and you want to show your support for me, you can definitely subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, or support us on Patreon. So if you cannot, if you'd like to support us financially, Patreon is the best way to do it. And like I said, you'll get special access to live recordings and ad-free versions of the podcast. So anyway, thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Fiber Muse Podcast. If you would like to contribute your story for a chance to hear it on air, go to www.arahenits.com/podcast to send in either a written, audio, or video submission. Written stories must be 1 page minimum, and audio and video submission minimum 5 minutes in length. Once again, thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.